episode 101. Well, it's Friday. I'm a day late, a dollar short. Yeah, I know. I keep telling you I'm going to do these on Thursday. Stuff just keeps happening, but hey, I'm here, and today is September the 9th, 2011. It is Friday. Happy Friday. NFL got started last night. Man, alive. A real defensive struggle. Just marching up and down the field. A real entertaining game. Sadly, I did not stay up and watch the whole thing. I don't know. Professional games just, man, don't they just seem to go on forever and ever? Just, man, it's like the never-ending game. And that's why I'm not a baseball fan. Never been a baseball fan, sorry. NFL, college football, and hockey. I'm a hockey guy. Well, we got the pool cover on the pool. Yeah, it's starting to get kind of chilly at night. That's a great thing. Now, we're told that this next week we might hit 100 degrees again. So, premature? I don't know. Maybe, but we've got big trees and leaves and stuff falling, and this drought here in North Texas is ridiculously severe. No matter where you live, you probably have seen on the news the wildfires that have been popping up all over the state. Right now, down in the hill country, down around Austin, actually, I think a little bit east of Austin, some crazy damage, a lot of homes destroyed, some people killed, and thousands upon thousands of acres burning. We've had a few of those kind of things here in the north central Texas area. We're coming to you from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. This is the Yellow Studio. BulaNetwork.com is the website. I hope you're not suffering severe drought. Well, I hope you're not suffering any kind of a drought wherever you are. And hopefully ours will break soon. Episode 101. 101, there it is. We passed the century mark, and we're still, as NXS would sing, we're still alive and kicking. Okay, here's what's on my mind today. Pricing. In particular, pricing and discounting. This is always been a challenge, and I suppose it will always be a challenge, and I would love to tell you that I have the end-all be-all fix it. I've got some ideas, I've got some suggestions, and these are born from experience as I do my best Rush Limbaugh impersonation and rifle through a bunch of papers here. Sorry about that. Well, actually, I'm not. I'm a notebook guy. You probably know that already if you've listened to very many of the podcasts at all. And I have before me a sheaf of papers and lots of various and sundry doodling, more doodling than notes, quite frankly. Pricing. Does pricing affect you? Does discounting affect you? Does your business, are you plagued by constantly finding yourself having to discount? Do you find yourself having conversations where the prospect says, well, that's just a little bit beyond our budget. Can you do better than that? Lots of conversation lately about budgets. Budgets, pricing, and discounting. It's kind of this three-headed hydra monster that any of us in sales and marketing and business building face. By the way, speaking of business building, I am not a big commenter. I'm not a big blog commenter. But I got to bring something up and see. I'm curious. I'm curious what your take is. I do pay attention to a particular blog, primarily because I find him highly entertaining. Now, I have warned before, he's terribly profane. I'm not a profane person, and I'm not given to profanity, nor am I a fan. But some of the stuff that he unearths, I kind of go through the profanity, and it's just some pretty compelling content. And that is saltydroid.info. Saltydroid.info. I put links before. In fact, I may have linked the very last show. I may have linked. Well, no matter whether you follow the internet marketing crowd or not, and I kind of sort of do. I don't follow them in the sense that I'm a follower of them. I follow in the sense that I kind of keep up with what's going on. It's kind of intriguing to me. And there's been this drama happening. Well, there's always drama happening in the internet marketing world. There are a considerable number of scoundrels and scammers. No, I don't think that they all are, but there are a considerable number of them who take advantage of the internet and the ability to reach people. And I think particularly because it's such a dream fantasy for people, to not work very hard and to make gobs of money. And what they do primarily is they sell false hope. Yeah, we've seen that business model before. But saltydroid.info, and again, just look past the profanity to kind of the substance. But there's been this ongoing saga of a couple of internet marketers, and I have just, for whatever reason, I've been sucked into the vortex of this news because of families involved, and primarily kids, children. I mean, take, for example, an internet marketer who just disappears, who just leaves wife, leaves kids, and goes to embrace the quote-unquote internet lifestyle. And I don't know this person. I certainly don't know his family, but it's just sad. It's just miserably sad. So Salty Droid, is kind of keeping us updated on some things, and has a great trove of resources and no doubt sources. And whether you put 100% stock in everything that appears there or not, is kind of beside the point. At any rate, I go on there, and as most blogs, put in your name. Put in your email address. Your email address will not be visible. And then a URL, and then your comment. Now, I freely admit, I'm not the most experienced commenter on the planet. So I fill it out, and I write something. And my comment basically is about the kids. Two families are involved in this particular story. And between them, a number of children. And I'm like, this whole thing unfolding, it just cast this pall over me thinking about these families and these children in particular. Well, I just immediately, I get dogpiled by some anonymous person. In fact, they don't even plug in their name. And they're dogpiling me as though I'm trying to pull some search engine optimization trick by linking to my site. And, of course, then the guy goes on, gal, whoever it is, goes on to just throw me under the bus as though I'm part of these scamming people, these internet marketing people. Helping people be remarkable. Huh? Well, how does that work? I've never seen anybody do that. And anyway, just went on and on. It just quite took me to task. Well, I wasn't particularly bothered by it. I responded, but I didn't take a real defensive posture by it. And I certainly didn't take an offensive posture either. I just kind of responded. And I thought, you know, I just don't need to be commenting. You know, maybe I just need to shut comments down even on mine. It's not that I get a bunch of comments, but for the longest, I didn't even open comments. You know, it kind of brings up this side issue. It has nothing to do with the topic today, by the way, pricing and whatnot, but it has this to do with it. My comment was, my work is done primarily in the offline world, and really what I do is, you could just, if you wanted to pigeonhole it, not that I love that, but if you wanted to, pigeonhole it as business consulting. I mean, I work with businesses. I don't put myself out here as an internet marketer, not by a long shot. I mean, internet marketing is, as I have said frequently, it is a biz op business. It's people who are in the business of selling you business opportunities. That is, let me tell you how to make money. Well, maybe I do that. Maybe I tell you how to. I hopefully help people make more money, but I work with, dare I say the word legitimate businesses. By and large, they are brick and mortar businesses. Well, that's not entirely true. Well, it's true in the sense that they do own brick and mortar, but maybe they're in the service business. Maybe they don't have a product. Maybe the product is what they do, but I am certainly not the guy out here espousing the 4-hour work week, and I'm certainly not this king, this bastion of passive income. I get it, I understand it, and yes, I'm quite fond of it. It really isn't necessarily in the wheelhouse of what I do. So at any rate, this person just took me to task. Well, thankfully there were some other people who said, listen, we don't know who this Randy Cantrell guy is, but, you know, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, you're kind of dogpiling and assuming some things that you don't know this guy. We don't know this guy. But, you know, to indict him simply because he made a comment and put a link, and of course, and then a bunch of people that have a lot more technical expertise, I'm sure, than I do, start talking about how, you know, dude, listen, to put a link in a comment, I mean, if you think that's a big traffic generation thing, you know, you got another thing coming. Well, I can tell you, I can assure you. And of course, every post after that, me being the dummy that I am, I just omitted. I didn't even plug in my email address or my URL. And of course, my comment appeared. But you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm one of these guys. If I've got it to say, I'm willing to own it. I'm not posting as anonymous. Yeah, that was the name. That was the user. That was the person's username, anonymous. And I my first comment was, listen, anonymous, I'm just not like you, anonymous. You know, I'm at least, I'll own what I say. I mean, if what I say is bad or wrong, I'll make it right. Anyway, here's the point. It's rather odd to me that there are a group of people who are just so anti-business. And that's how this person came across to me. Just absolutely anti-business. All business. As though all commerce is bad. As though any form of capitalism is just awful. I don't agree. I obviously don't agree. I've said before many times, I am a capitalist. I'm a capitalist pig. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with making money. I do believe that we need to be involved in a high value exchange. So yes, I'm opposed to the scammy internet marketers who will sell you for $47 or for $1,997 the secret to financial success and stardom and passive income and all that. Hogwash. Save your money. Save your money and save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of pain and time, because by and large, there is a segment that pitches that kind of thing and pitches that way, and they're They're just modern day con men, period. You know, so is every business a con job? Why, no. We go and we buy stuff that we need. We buy stuff that we want. And these are legitimate exchanges in value. It's business. It's business. And it's what we do here. It's what I'm all about. And in the business of exchanging value, sometimes we get our brains beat out by people who say, well, can't you do better? Now, I don't know how you run your business. I don't know if you run your business by everything being fully negotiated or if you're kind of a one-price, one-size-fits-all affair. Let me give you, and again, here's, I reluctantly hit record to go into this today, but it's on my mind because it has been the topic of conversation around here with a number of clients for at least the last 3 weeks. And I suspect as this economy just continues to drag on, welcome to the new norm, as this continues to go on, I'm finding, especially now as we get into, you know, we're approaching the fourth quarter and end of year, and so now people are, well, they're pulling out that budget card, right? They've got this Trump card up their sleeve, and it's called budget. Well, you know, I'd love to do business with you, but the budget just won't allow it. And now the budget, we need you to be at this price. And, well, because of the budget, we've got, you know, it's as though the budget is etched in stone. Well, budgets aren't etched in stone. Come on, look at the federal government. There is no bigger bureaucracy on the planet. There's not a budget etched in stone. You know, we print more money. The president goes before Congress and we decide we're going to amp up and take on more debt. And then we're going to do this moronic thing that was announced last night. We're going to have this jobs initiative. Put shovels to work and all this. Yeah. Well, I got a news flash for you. If you think Washington's going to fix what ails us, you're sadly mistaken. They can certainly make it worse. They're proving that they're quite capable of that, but this is business, okay? This is business. And budgets, smudgets, who cares? What we're talking about is your business and your business being able to provide value, so much value that your prospect smacks their forehead and they say, I've got to do this. I've got to invest in this. I've got to purchase this. If I don't, I'm stupid. I'm stupid because this is the very best solution for me. Now, you could argue that some of this might depend if you're, and what I've kind of got in mind here primarily is business to business selling. Well, you don't like B2B, you know, that nomenclature, well, okay, tough. There's a lot of things that I don't necessarily like the way things are labeled, you know, the way things are phrased, but when we're talking about communication, yeah, why try to invent a new language? I'm reminded, I've got a book, and I honestly tried to muddle through this thing because I've got a high interest in education, and over at Leaning Toward Wisdom, I do a little bit of stuff. It's not for profit, at least not yet, in the field of education. So there's this highfalutin educational consultant, right? And she's got this book, and everybody's just gaga over this thing. So I get this thing some months ago, and I start reading it, and I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, really? I don't understand this. For instance, I don't understand how, let's don't call a school principal a principal. Let's call them a chief. Well, back up. Let's call them a CLO, which stands for Chief Learning Officer. I closed the book. I couldn't finish it. I'm sorry. Because I'm thinking, really? Okay, that's really what we're going to do. We're really going to refer to a principal as a chief learning officer, and that's going to make all the difference in the world. As much as I may hate certain terminology, communication is the key, and if people understand it, what do I care? You know, nobody died and made me in charge, so B2B, people get that, they understand it, you can fight it all day long, but it's understandable, right? It clearly communicates to people. So in this B2B space, which is primarily what I've been dealing in over the last, well, the better part of a month, and the pricing issues in that world. I do understand that there may be some differences when we are doing B to C, or business to consumer, business to end user. However, just go with me on this, and I'm going to paint with a broad brush on purpose today, and we're going to talk about pricing, discounting, budgets, all that stuff, kind of in a philosophical sort of way, and I'll just give you my take. And let's start with the whole notion of the discount, the whole notion of I like what you're pitching me, Mr. Business Owner, but the price is too high. My budget won't afford it, or I really don't want to pay that much. Now, there are people that will tell you, well, you haven't overcome objections, and you haven't done a compelling enough job to sell them. My approach is different. I don't necessarily. Yes, you could argue that, okay, you got to be more compelling. You got to build a value. I completely agree with that. However, in so many cases, once I start diving in and digging deeper, what I find is that the person who now is discounting because of that objection, they don't have anywhere to go. Meaning, here's my offer, right? Here's my grand poopah offer, and it's this much money. Let's just call it $10,000. Here's my solution, Mr. Business Owner, and it's a $10,000 solution. Well, you know, that's great, but I can't go that high. My budget won't go that high. Well, how high can you go? Yeah, right, like we ask that. Well, I do sometimes. Well, my budget won't let me go a dime over $8,000. Okay, well, now as a business owner, you're forced to make a decision. Okay, do you discount $2,000? 20% right off the top, which, by the way, also affects negatively the bottom, just because they say they've got a budget of $8,000. And here's what I find so many businesses, especially in the B2B space, here's the problem that they have. They have a $10,000 solution. Client, prospect says, I got $8,000. I got $7,500. You've either got to justify the $10,000 price, or you got to discount it, or you got to walk away from the deal. Enter Randy's wonderful solution, which is I don't profess to be, you know, the bastion of knowledge or wisdom, but I do have some experience. And I don't understand why business owners don't have multiple price points. If for no other reason than to eliminate the need to give your stuff away. Stop giving your stuff away. Now, if your stuff doesn't have high value, that's a different conversation. But for this broad sweeping conversation, I'm assuming that you bring sufficient value so that your $10,000 offering, it's worth $10,000, maybe more. Let's say we hope it's worth more. But you're up against a budget, and the budget's $8,000. Don't discount, don't give your $10,000 product to somebody for $8,000. How about you develop a $7,500 solution, maybe a $7,000 solution, and then your pitch goes something like, I understand, Mr. Prospect, you know what, that's exactly why I have this. It's not quite as robust. There's another word that you hear a lot. I never heard that before. You know, I mean, this internet age, we like the word robust. You know, it's got robust features. It's got robust performance. I kind of like it. I don't use it very often. I did purposefully insert it there. I thought you'd appreciate it. Robust. I do have, you know, it's a less robust solution. And quite frankly, it'll save you $1,000 below your budget. It's a 7K solution. Now, where the 10K solution has this, that, and the other, the $7,000 solution does not have the this or the that, but it does have the other. Well, now we've changed the conversation. The pressure's off of me to discount my 10K solution. Oh, now here's what's going to happen. You and I both know what's going to happen. He wants the $10,000 solution. Who doesn't? We want the best. Oh, now, I don't want to pay for it, but I want the best. I want it at cheap prices. Well, you know, it's why I have this solution. It's a great solution. It'll be for you. It'll be the cat's meow. It's not as loud a meow as the $10,000 solution, but you're a grand under budget, and you'll be happy with it. My experience is, more often than not, that person finds a way. Oh, it's an $8,000 budget. I thought it was an $8,000 budget. No, you don't say that. They come back to you and they want that $10,000 solution. They have to have the $10,000 solution. Why? Well, because that's how psychology works. Tell me that I can't afford it. I'll show you. Why, you're not going to tell me what I can afford. And in your mind, you're thinking, well, you just told me you couldn't afford it. You just told me your budget was $8,000. Yeah, it's a good thing that I'm not capable of hitting a record button for all the stuff in my head. And it's probably a good thing. And it certainly is probably a good thing that you don't have that ability either. You know, because there are these private conversations that we have when we're involved in this selling and marketing stuff. And there's so many things that we would love to say. And no, you don't say them. You think them, but you don't say them. So here's the takeaway on this one. If you find yourself under pressure to constantly discount, consider two different things. One, consider if you're overpriced. That's possible. It's highly possible that you could be, well, you're just pricing yourself too high. The competition is lower. Your value is not high enough to justify the price. That's possible. Take a look at that. Take a serious look at that. However, if you're selling it sometimes, and sometimes you're not, you're coming to get up against the B word, the budget word, it could be that you need to take pressure off of yourself being, well, you're not forced, but you feel forced to discount. Because I don't know a business on the planet that doesn't chase cash every now and then. I mean, we get in these cash flow situations, and right, we just want the business. We want the business. We need the business. Nothing wrong with that. But take pressure off of yourself by offering a solution that fits in the wheelhouse. My advice, almost always, is preferably to be just under where you're getting the price pressure. So let's say that you continually come up against people who are saying to your $10,000 offer, can you get me below $8,000? I really need to be below $8,000. Whatever that number is, get below that number. I mean, don't just go up to, well, the budget that I'm coming up against is $8,000, so I need to have an $8,000 solution. No, go even better. Go even better. And just make that kind of icing on the cake of, not only can I solve your problem, not only can I take care of you, not only can I dazzle you and make you happy, I'm going to save you $1,000 on your budget to boot. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It does bear repeating. I'm a big believer in top down selling. I'm a big believer in step down selling. And it works very simply. Here's my best solution, Mr. Customer. If it's a $10,000 solution, here's my best solution. And I realize that may not be in the wheelhouse of, you know, of where you expect to spend or your budget or whatever. And so as a result, I've got this $7,000 solution. You will sell more $10,000 solutions approaching it that way than, well, let me tell you where we start, Mr. Prospect. I've got this $7,000 solution. Now you could step up to this other. You're going to sell a lot fewer $10,000 solutions with that approach. So take a look at those things. And I've got to remind you, budgets don't really mean a whole lot. And you could even take it to the bank. Budgets were meant to be broken. You don't think so? Just look at Washington, D.C. It's a sad example, but a true example. A very, very true example. How is pricing in your company? How are the challenges and the problems that face your company? What are the problems? I'd be curious to hear what they are. I might have a thing or two to say about it. I'd love to help you. If there's some way that I can be of service, just reach out. All kinds of ways that you can connect with us here at BoodleNetwork.com. I've got, we're got the Twitter thing happening. I like Twitter. I don't know where you fall in the realm of social media, but I like Twitter. I like the real-time nature of it. I like the fact that it's not permission-based. That is, if I want to send somebody a tweet, I can do it. If they want to send me a tweet, they can do it. I think that's kind of cool. I can respond to it. I can ignore it. I try to respond to mine, but, you know, I'm not this social media guru rock star like so many people are. But follow me on Twitter. Connect with me on Twitter. You can send me email to results, because that's what we're always after here, results@BoodleNetwork.com. The voicemail line, the 24-hour, yes, it's a Google voice number, the 24-hour voicemail line, audio feedback, if you please, is 214-736-4406. Hey, I've just thrown up a page. I did some testing and tweaking. I've been doing this for a few months now. In fact, I'm still doing it. I have a number of people that are kind of ongoing projects for me. Four of them, to be exact. And out of that work was born, it's a virtual workout. That's what it amounts to. Workout sessions, GE calls them workout sessions. I always had them in the businesses that I ran. I call them brainstorming sessions. I didn't know until 1984 that somebody had a name for it. Well, of course, leave it to GE to have a cool name for it. Workout sessions. Jack and Susie Wells, they've got a TV program on CSNBC or something like that where they do these workouts with companies. You know, they bring in higher-ups and they lock and load for about a day, and then at the end of it, they bring in the chairman or the CEO and they say, okay, here's what you need to do. Kind of cool work. So go to the Hire Me page if you're interested in that. And again, we're all about helping you build business. And predominantly, it's just about helping you earn what you're worth. Now, the hope is that you're worth more than you're earning. Not everybody is, but I hope that that speaks to you. Happy Friday, September the 9th. My older sister turned 60 today. She's probably quite depressed. I'm not, because we're both still alive and kicking. And life is good. Randy Cantrell is my name. Website is BoodleNetwork.com, and this is The Yellow Studio.